What's up, all you listeners out there in internet land? This is Ashley Talklavon, the team captain for Team Ramrod. We represent the affirmative side, giving the main argument that an asteroid colliding with Earth is the main cause of the dinosaur extinction 65 million years ago. First, we will have Redmond Rabara introducing and concluding our debate. Then I will present the first argument that an asteroid did in fact collide with Earth to cause the mass extinction by providing proven evidence. Then we will have John Quintos to prove the series of after effects of the asteroid to lead the mass extinction of the dinosaurs. Sandy Nguyen will provide that the KT boundary coincides with the asteroid impact, that is evidence of the asteroid of the dinosaur extinction. Okay, now we have Redmond Rabara, who will introduce the topic.
Good afternoon, my name is Redmond, and I will be introducing some key points regarding the asteroid impact on Earth. I will begin by providing some historical background. Dinosaurs appeared on the Earth at the beginning of the Mesozoic era and were the dominant form of life for the next 140 million years and were present on every continent. We can see their bones in the geological records laid down over time. From a geological perspective, the lower stratum of rock contains the earliest and most primitive species of dinosaurs, while the upper strata contains the newer species. Then there is a geological strata line called the Cretaceous Tertiary, also known as the KT boundary, which Sandy will later elaborate further on. What could possibly destroy the immense existence of these massive creatures? The solution to this ongoing question of their mass extinction must contain a very dynamic occurrence to happen on the face of the Earth. Now, what could be more dynamic than an asteroid from outer space to break through the atmosphere and collide on Earth 65 million years ago? There are proven theories that support my team's evidence of the asteroid impact that clearly show that it was the cause of the mass extinction, destroying 95% of dinosaur life. The remaining 5% living are the bird-like species. The nature of events are the cause of mass extinction that has been extensively studied as far as back as the 1980s. Several related theories that state different reasons for the causation of the dinosaur extinction. However, it has been known that the theory, which is greatly supported by most paleontologists and geologists, is the occurrence and the impact of the asteroid collision. The collision of the asteroid triggered a series of events such as massive volcanism and changes in climate that are points which will be discussed by team member John. All these factors leading to an extinction on a wholesale level. I will now let Megan introduce the opposing argument.
Hi, my name is Megan. I'm team captain for Team B.
AKA Dino Death. Was not caused by an asteroid.
I have team member Mark and Sergio with me. Our main argument is that an impact did not cause dinosaur extinction. In fact, we have many other theories. I will be reading the opening statement. Mark will be doing argument one, Sergio argument two, and they'll be splitting argument three, and I'll be concluding. So to begin, although it is thought by many that extinction of dinosaurs came from an impact crater and is proven through KT boundary theory, there is much evidence not only that disputes those theories but encourages alternate. Most commonly, our opposing theories include such as volcanic eruption, levels of iridium, disease, and datelines theories that do not coincide with the crater impact. There's such evidence that disputes the theory of a mass object or crater hitting the Earth causing the wipeout of the existence of dinosaurs. As in, the main argument for dinosaur extinction has been when a mass object hit the Earth, a large dust cloud covered the atmosphere. However, scientists prove that many light-sensitive species have survived beyond the extinction of dinosaurs that should have never made it without plenty of exposure of light. Also, such a cloud would have covered the Earth when it would have caused a dramatic drop in temperature, not the global warming effect. This climate effect remained as such throughout the Cretaceous period. Although volcanic eruption might be the best explanation for dinosaur extinction, it did not cause immediate extinction like the crater theory proposes. Volcanic eruptions occur over a period of time, perhaps over some million years. These series of eruptions would have taken place, which would have caused the drop in temperature and release in sulfuric acid. As in the Philippines at Mount Pinatubo, when a small eruption occurs, it puts enough sulfuric acid in the air to cause a measurable drop in temperature. Such temperature drops is enough to cause crop failure and starvation, shown in 1816 when the eruption of Tambora in Indonesia occurred. With such conditions causing cold spells every few decades, it is impossible for continuous growth of plant life or adaptation or species to occur. This could contribute to plant-eating dinosaurs such as Triceratops, Brachiosaurus to die off as well, which would limit the food for meat-eaters. Dinosaurs would then be forced to die. We also have evidence of levels of iridium for which the opposing theory discusses not only does not correlate either. With simply no correlation of iridium anomalies with these periods of extinction, other known impact craters that have been studied, only one in Australia, have evidence of raised iridium levels. Iridium levels are more closely related to volcanic eruption. Even in 1983, the eruption of Kilauea in Hawaii, airborne levels were 630 ppd, which is 11,000 times more concentrated than Hawaiian volcanic rock. The problem is that comets or asteroids are not very iridium rich at all. There also is question of shock quartz, where some believe that it's created from craters on impact evidence, which is telling us different. These grains of quartz have been viewed under microscope as having planar deformations. These are called shock lamellae, but are not always used by shock deformation, which can be misleading. They are in fact caused by impact, volcanism, or prolonged pressure. It has also been said that the type found in the KT layer is the type more so associated with volcanism than impact. Finally, we will discuss the potential that mass extinction sometimes and sites differ from the impact theory. As history prevailed, many of these questioned species began to die out even before the great impact occurred. The Smoking Gun talks about Yucatan being the site of impact. However, the majority of the fossils were discovered in the Gobi Desert, which is on the other side of the Earth. Even beyond all that, scientists have not looked into many other options, such as disease, high-energy terrestrial explosions, supernova, which results in radiation, or why, out of all the impacts in the dinosaur area from craters, is this particular one wiped out the entire species of dinosaurs?
Okay, hello again. This is Ashley Taklaban reporting for Team Ramrod, and I will be giving our first argument. Our first argument is that the definite cause for the dinosaur extinction was an asteroid colliding with Earth 65 million years ago. This theory was first proposed in 1980 by geologist Walter Alvarez and physicist Luis Alvarez, whom are greatly recognized within the scientific community. The evidence of this asteroid settles in Yucatan, Mexico, called the Chicxulub Impact Crater. This crater is 180 kilometers or 111 miles, approximately the distance from San Diego to Los Angeles. Just by looking at the distance of the crater, doesn't that suggest a major force of impact which could cause the extinction of the dinosaurs? Of course it does. Everything from 500 kilometers from the origin would have been instantly destroyed. Now, looking at evidence found by Mexico's Museum of Natural History and Science, over hundreds of thousands of dinosaur fossils have been found around Mexico, ranging from 225 to 65 million years ago. Scientists point out that the fossil record shows that dinosaurs were already in decline before the Cretaceous Tertiary boundary, and the asteroid gave the final blow that finished off a population to cause a mass extinction. From the use of radiocarbon dating, the asteroid collision theory links the extinction event at the end of the Cretaceous period of the dinosaurs to an asteroid impact approximately 65 million years ago. These two events occurred at the same time. Therefore, our opposing group is mistaken if they say that these two events did not coincide with each other. Now, the speed of the incoming asteroid is something that is very detrimental to the impact. The asteroid itself is only about 6 to 12 kilometers. Scientists determined the size based on two factors. One, if the body were smaller than 6 kilometers, the effects would be seen globally, as they appear to have been. If it were larger than 12 kilometers, there would have to be more glass-laden fullerenes, which are gaseous structures trapped inside rocks and sediments found in the earthy layers at the Permian and Triassic boundary, distributed along sediments globally. By looking at the size of the asteroid, it is quite small relative to the amount of impact it created on Earth. However, the speed of the asteroid is reported going 900,000 kilometers per hour or 250,000 miles per second, which is extremely fast. Now, by incorporating our knowledge of physics, the velocity and mass of an object is directly proportional to the force of an object. So the exact mass of the asteroid is unknown, although the asteroid did contain the element iridium, which is very dense, making the asteroid pretty heavy in mass. The great speed of the asteroid would cause a massive force upon Earth and disrupt the normal events on the planet, and a huge combustion of the asteroid into tiny particles. The impact was an enormous explosion that threw dust clouds into the sky, darkening the planet, massive forest fires, which triggered by the hit, and added smoke to the sky. This cooled the planet, causing the climatic changes observed. More of the effects of the asteroid are discussed later by my teammate, John. From our scientific evidence concerning the asteroid collision, we have proven that an asteroid from outer space has enough powerful impact to fully destroy and annihilate 95% of the dinosaur species. And now, Sergio.
Okay, I'm Mark, and I'll be doing a little bit of rebuttaling to that right now. Okay, so first of all, what our rebuttal is going to focus it on is going to be around the idea of bandwagoning onto something that hasn't been quite exactly backed up with a lot of evidence. So this can be basically summarized from Geology Today, which is page 156, and it says a little bit better than I would, so I'm going to go ahead and read this little quote, and it says, "It's probably true to say most Earth scientists have come to accept the fact that the asteroid impact directly or indirectly did the dinosaurs and other species 65 million years ago, not only because they've been beaten into submission by an endless barrage of propaganda in its favor." And it's the word that has been put in the ears constantly over the past few years is chickaloop. But wait, so hear the other side first. And then we're going to refer to a paper written in 1994 by Meyerhoff in Geology, which is volume 22, page 3, that points out, and the first point is that there is obviously some volcanism interspersed in layers. The second, there is no sign of any sort of impact melt sheet. And the third, a large asteroid, large enough to make a crater, would have blasted out the upper crustaceous sediments within the structure. And then we are also going to talk about, just during that time, as reported by Brian Witzke of the University of Iowa's Earth Science Department, that there was just a lot of bad science going on through this period, that people were rushing into results that didn't stand up to much scrutiny. So an example of this, the biggest example of this, would be at the annual meeting of the American Geophysical Union in 1985, that Inzit and Pillmore of the U.S. Geological Survey announced that the crater was about the right size to be involved with the dinosaur's extinction. So this attracted much press, but it was premature. And this was talking about the Manson crater, and that after a careful examination of the data, it showed that it was too small and also 9 million years too early. And then also the Chicxulub, going back to the Chicxulub, it was also buried under 2 to 3 kilometers of limestone, and it's mostly offshore, which makes it difficult to study. And also with that, there are studies that have been done with the magnetic and gravity surveys have shown that, as well as the oil wells that have been drilled, the borehead data that came out of that rules out the idea of Chicxulub being an impact crater. And I will also be going into our team's first point. Our first argument revolves around the idea of a giant volcanic eruption. So in this is just going to be an alternative explanation of how the dinosaurs came to be at a loss and did die out in one instant moment of some huge catastrophic disaster, but rather over a period, a long period of time, that being a few million years, and these being very stressful conditions at this time. So I'll go ahead and explain some of these conditions and what would lead up to that and what would eventually lead to the extinction of the dinosaurs, and back that up also. So these conditions were caused by a series of, the idea is that this was done over a series of large volcanic eruptions that lasted for a long period of time. So this long period of time, we're talking about several million years. In fact, it could have been more. And during our time, we've seen that large volcanic eruptions have been known to change the weather, mostly by dumping vast amounts of sulfur into the upper atmosphere. So these sulfur changes into droplets of sulfuric acid, which are bright and reflect away the light of the sun before it reaches and warms the Earth. So the idea behind this is going to cool down the Earth and not allow radiation to happen, solar radiation, to keep the temperature at more of a constant level. So consequently, the temperature of the Earth will drop somewhat. And even a relatively small eruption that we've seen in the Philippines had enough to put a lot of sulfur into the air, enough to cause definitely a measurable drop in temperature worldwide. So a graph of the Earth's average temperature changes since 1950 would show many ups and downs, but there's a constant upward trend since the 1960s. So this shows that there was a big drop that lasted for 3 years starting in 1991. This would be the effect of the eruption that we saw in the Philippines. So only a drop, the drop in the temperature was about half a degree, so it wasn't very noticeable to many people, and this change was only caused by this fairly small volcanic eruption. So in 1815, a much larger eruption that did occur in Indonesia was enough to put more sulfur into the air to cause several degrees of cooling as opposed to just a half a degree. So this was enough to cause crop failures and starvation, which was documented in France and also in the northern United States in the next following 2 years, in 1816 and 1817. So the question is, what happened to the dinosaurs? So what we do here is we imagine a lot of erupting volcanoes here that will happen over centuries, the scale that happened in Indonesia. And we also must remember that these hotspot eruptions are hundreds of thousands times larger than the eruptions that we have seen relatively in the past 100 years and of that of being of measurable volcano activity. So the results would be hugely irregular periods of great cold every 10 to 100 years. And then some scientists think that these eruptions would pour enough carbon dioxide into the air to cause long-term warming. And the winter, and then the weather would be in also periods of unusually hot and unusually cold. So the effect that this would have on plants in different areas is that they would not be able to survive, but it wouldn't happen all at once. And due to this poor weather, it would be this painstakingly slow process. So the excessive carbon dioxide might have also have poisoned the oceans, which would have caused the marine plants and animals to die as well. So the idea is this chain cycle that when the plants die, the animals that would eat the plants would also die. This would include the Brachiosaurus and Triceratops, as well as other herbivores of this period. And if they aren't around, then also the meat eaters wouldn't be around. And all the other animals would be forced to migrate, or they would die as well. So eventually the eruptions would stop, and the weather would turn normal. Before this happened, again, many of the plants, Earth's plants and animals wouldn't die, including the dinosaurs. So the question is there any evidence to support this and this idea of how the dinosaurs died? So the evidence is saying that the evidence supporting this volcanic eruption theory is that we do find huge volcanic deposits formed, and dating them, they go back to the exact time. And these would be the Deccan Traps of India. And the Deccan Traps would again support the idea of volcanic eruptions.
What's up, y'all? This is John Quintos, a.k.a. Jay Skillet. And I'm representing Team Ramrod, and I am rebutting their first argument. Our opposing group gives their alternate view of volcanic eruptions, although can they explain the areas where there are no volcanoes on Earth? Nah, I don't think so. Our opposing group mentions that the volcanic eruptions occurred at the same time of the extinction. Although these volcanic eruptions are a result of the asteroid hitting Earth, causing fluctuations of the asthenosphere and the lithosphere, causing lava to move towards a volcanic eruption. Also, it is very difficult to reconcile lava flows in India, which was surrounded by seas, with being responsible for global wildfires. This seems especially so when considering that the continents were being pushed and inland seas were either being formed or retreating due to major ridge expansion. Basalt lava flows can produce iridium, but none has been found in the Deakin Traps themselves. Furthermore, it is difficult to imagine volcanic eruptions sending iridium globally. Some extinctions, such as global extinctions of the dinosaurs, seem impossible to reconcile with just volcanic eruptions. We also do believe that the volcanic eruptions did occur, but we also believe that it was caused by the asteroid hitting the Earth. Good afternoon. My name is John Quintos, a.k.a. J. Skillet, and I'll be discussing the effects of the asteroid that hit Earth, which caused the death of the dinosaurs. This idea is that a giant asteroid about 10 kilometers wide, traveling at 90,000 kilometers per hour, slammed into the Earth at the southern margin of North America. It probably landed close to what is now the Yucatan Peninsula, an area that was then a shallow tropical sea. The damage to North America was unequivocal. According to fossil deposits, the Gulf Coast was emptied of life. On land, forests were flattened, fires raged, and 4 out of 5 plant species died. Fossils uncovered in New Zealand point to major disturbances in climate that led to the death of most trees and flowering plants. It was found on the South Island of New Zealand, which is situated about 11,000 kilometers from Mexico. Ancient layers of rock from Moody Creek Mine on the west coast reveal a characteristic accumulation of fern spores and pollen just after the impact is thought to have occurred. Ferns flourish whenever all the other plants have been killed off by some environmental devastation. So the predominance of fern spores, known as fern spikes, suggested something that had wiped out every plant on the planet. Biologist David Archibald said, "Fern spikes were found all over the Earth, such as in New Zealand, and this, I think, became stronger and stronger evidence that there was something like global darkness caused by the impact." Clues from the plant fossils suggest that even the southern hemisphere experienced an artificial winter, acid rain, and raging forest fires. This is the first clear fossil evidence for destruction of plant life so far from the Mexico coast, where the space object is believed to have landed. Just imagine this scenario 65 million years ago. The impact of the asteroid caused giant shockwaves that circled the Earth. These shockwaves caused tremendous amounts of earthquakes and tsunamis. There was also a giant heat wave that circled the Earth with the impact. The survivors of the firestorms, tsunamis, and massive earthquakes emerged to a devastated landscape. Within a few days, the sun vanished behind a dark, thick cloud, a combination of soot from the firestorms and dust thrown up by the impact, and toxic smog from the chemical reactions. Photosynthesis in plants and algae ceased and temperatures plummeted. A long, sunless Arctic winter seems mild compared to the new conditions on most of the planet. After a year or so, the dust settled and the sunlight began to filter through the clouds. The Earth's surface started warming up, but the elevated carbon dioxide levels created by the fires and, by chance, vaporization of huge quantities of limestone at the impact site resulted in a runaway greenhouse effect. Those creatures that managed to survive in the deep freeze then had to cope with being cooked. Also, acid rain occurred, which was caused by huge quantities of gypsum. Many species of plants and animals vanished. That occurrence caused a chain effect that is a death in plants, which caused herbivores to die because of no food, and then caused the death of carnivores. This disrupted the circle of life. Volcanic explosions were also thought to be caused by the asteroid hitting the Earth. A possible link between impacts and volcanism became evident in 1974, when the Mariner 10 spacecraft flew past the innermost planet Mercury. The planet was found to be covered with impact craters like the Moon. One giant impact crater on Mercury was particularly interesting. Directly opposite to the impact point on the other side of the planet, called the antipodal point, was a region of highly disrupted terrain with no evidence of an impact. The shock waves from the impact on one side of Mercury had traveled around the surface and met simultaneously at the antipodal point to create chaotic features. Similar features have been since detected on silver moons and giant planets. Astronomer Duncan Steele has suggested that the same occurred with the Chicxulub impact and that the shock waves caused the Deakin traps. Taking into account millions of years of continental drift, this region would have been at the antipodal point of Mexico at the time of the impact. Although the eruption may have contributed to the suffering, it is now seems like more likely that the Deakin traps were just a consequence of a catastrophic initial event, the Chicxulub impact. All these factors contributed to the death of the dinosaurs. However, the main cause was the asteroid that hit the Earth. The asteroid caused many different events, including firestorms, acid rains, and global winters, earthquakes, tsunamis, global warming, and volcanic eruptions.
I don't agree with those statements, so I'm gonna form a rebuttal. My name is Sergio Alvarez. I have no relation to Walter or Luis Alvarez, and so I would not support them in that instance. Well, anyway, I'll continue with my rebuttal on the ferns. In the angiosperm flora, there was decrease in certain pollen species across the boundary and a corresponding increase in fern spores. Some mega fossil evidence seemed to point towards a massive kill and recolonization. Church and Wolf, however, more recently, Upchurch noted that some clades had become extinct in the tertiary after declining in abundance at the boundary. Others had shown notable declines in the Maastrichtian, indicating some kind of gradual environmental change. In Australia, White could find no evidence of any KT mass extinction in plants, although the angiosperm flora in North America may have suffered a reduction in biomass. There are no indications of a decline in species diversity. The diversity curve by Nicholas shows no KT interruption in continuing trend toward greater diversity. Now, I will form our second argument for Team B, aka Dino Death. And, we're broadcasting live, by the way. So, many studies have focused on the extinction of dinosaurs alone, and they forget to mention, the marine ecosystem collapse. The fossil records suggest that some marine reptiles died out several million years prior to the Cape Deep boundary. So, according to John Briggs, in an article he wrote in a scientific journal, the KT boundary was neither sudden. The changes were neither sudden nor catastrophic. They were most likely caused by a regression of sea level that led to a decrease in primary production. The catastrophic extinction underway today as a result of human destruction of the biosphere is far faster and greater than the events of 65 million years ago. So, this creates a time span problem. In a comprehensive review, Kaufman observed that most of the marine extinctions near the KT boundary occurred in a series of steps, with earlier and more extensive extinctions among tropical taxa than among those in temperate areas. These extinctions apparently spanned a 2.5 to 2.75 million year interval, beginning before the boundary and extending into the lowest Paleocene. Weidman also found a gradual decline in most of the marine macroinvertebrate groups as time approached the boundary. In the terrestrial environment, the emphasis has been on supposedly sudden disappearance of the dinosaurs at the KT boundary, but the result of research by several paleontologists have indicated instead of going out with a bang, the dinosaurs underwent a gradual loss of diversity over a long period of time. In their investigation of Hell Creek Formation, Montana, North Dakota, South Dakota, and Wyoming, They found dinosaur extinction to be a gradual process that began 7 million years before the end of the Cretaceous and accelerated rapidly into the final 0.3 million years. Just how many dinosaur species were still alive at the time of the boundary is a matter that has not been settled. Some dinosaurs quite possibly remained alive as much as 3 million years into the Paleocene. The flying reptiles did not survive the end of the Cretaceous, but their extinction also did not occur in a catastrophic manner. They had been gradually diminishing in diversity for approximately 70 million years throughout the Cretaceous. By the end of the period, only a few members remained. There is little evidence that terrestrial species, except dinosaurs and marsupials, suffered much extinction at the KT boundary. Clemens noted that among the other terrestrial vertebrates, all families and genera of Cretaceous fishes passed through the boundary and have been found in Paleocene or later deposits. There are many causes for extinction. In recent years, the almost exclusive focus on high-energy events, such as comet impacts and volcanic eruptions, has obscured the cause of KT extinctions. An extinction series sustained up to several million years would require a continuous rain of impacts. There is only one iridium spike at the KT boundary, and aside from the argument about whether it was produced by a volcano or an asteroid, a single high-energy event will not account for the evidence extinction pattern. No single impact by itself could have been responsible for the extinction of the dinosaurs or the other organisms. The fossils have an interesting story to tell. The time over which the KT extinctions took place, even though it is less spectacular than most current accounts, in both the marine and terrestrial environments, extinctions in major groups of animals began several million years before the KT boundary. Dinosaurs, approximately 7 million years before. So, that negates all of your guys' arguments. No. In your face.
No.
Alright. My name is Sandy. Good afternoon, by the way. And I'm from Team Ramrod.
That's right.
Yep. And I will be giving my rebuttal because I do not agree with what he has to say.
That's right.
Sergio states that dinosaurs had a slow process of dying out. Like we said in Ashley's argument, scientists point out that the fossil record shows that dinosaurs were already in decline before the Cretaceous tertiary boundary, and that the asteroid gave the final blow that finished off the population to cause a mass extinction. We're not saying that one impact killed the population of dinosaurs, but it was the cause of the various events that led to the extinction, such as explosions that threw dust clouds in the sky, darkening the planet, massive forest fires that triggered the hit, added smoke to the sky, and this led to the cooling of the planet, causing the climatic changes observed. Studies show that the great speed of the asteroid would cause a massive force upon Earth and disrupt the normal events on the planet. Here, I have evidence that Alan Hildebrand, a paleontologist, said that here in Western Canada, we have a layer at the Cretaceous tertiary boundary. It's about 1 centimeter thick on average. In Colorado and New Mexico, it's 2 or 2.5 centimeters thick. Still further south in the Caribbean, as in Haiti, it's about 0.5 meter thick. So by 1989, we knew that the source crater had to be somewhere between North and South America. Thus, in conclusion, I therefore say that there was an impact, and that the evidence is the crater at Chicxulub. I will now be giving my third argument for Team Ramrod. Our third argument is that the KT boundary is the main evidence of the death of the dinosaurs caused by the impact of the asteroid, and is the reason why mammals and humans inherited the Earth. Our opposing side argued that the KT boundary does not coincide with the time of the extinction of the dinosaurs, but it is due to the changes such as erosion, tsunamis, and flooding, global firestorms, earthquakes, volcanic debris, and other catastrophes that have affected some areas of the isotopic composition of iridium in KT layers. In 1980, a team of researchers led by Nobel Prize-winning physicist Louis Alvarez, his son geologist Walter Alvarez, again with no relation with Sergio Alvarez, and a group of colleagues discovered fossilized sedimentary layers found all over the world at the Cretaceous-Tertiary boundary. 65.5 million years ago, containing a concentration of iridium hundreds of times greater than normal. This is known as the Alvarez hypothesis, where the end of the Cretaceous period coincided with the end of the dinosaurs. It was, in general, a period of the extraordinary mass extinction, leading to the Tertiary period of the Cenozoic era, in which mammals came to dominate on Earth. The paper suggested that the dinosaurs had been killed off by the impact of a 10-kilometer-wide asteroid on Earth. The KT boundary is a thin gray line that still exists around the world and has been for about 65 million years. Evidence shows that in Italy, it has a width of 1 centimeter, and in America, extends to about 3 centimeters wide. Alvarez's hypothesis is followed by the fact that isotopic composition of iridium in KT layers resembles that of asteroids more closely than that of the terrestrial iridium. Iridium, by the way, is the chemical element commonly found in asteroids and comets, and the KT boundary has been touted as a smoking gun linking the dinosaur's demise to an asteroid impact. Like I said before, the opposing side may argue that the KT boundary does not coincide with the time of the extinction of the dinosaurs, but according to Life Science article, recent work by other scientists, for example, has shown that the fossil records could have been shuffled around by an enormous tsunami that would have followed such a significant asteroid impact. Denton Ebel, assistant curator of meteorites at the American Museum of Natural History, says that all of the deposits around the Caribbean from this period have experienced tsunami, landslide, rebound, and other phenomena directly resulting from the enormous impact. They're saying that there's multiple ejecta layer, but they're looking at sediment that has been subjected to perhaps the biggest mechanical upheaval on the planet in the past 100 million years. Because the Chicxulub impact would have been many orders of magnitude stronger than any volcanic eruption, scientists have to travel hundreds or even thousands of miles from ground zero to find sediment layers not disturbed by the impact, and Frank Kite did so. Frank Kite of the University of California has analyzed the chemical composition of spherules collected from the KT boundary layer in places all around the world, including deep ocean basins where the sediment isn't as churned up as in the Gulf of Mexico. From his studies, Kite has concluded that there is only one spherule layer, and that this layer is located precisely at the KT boundary. This evidence supports the main argument that KT boundary is the main fact that proves the theory that the asteroid collision did not occur and was the cause of dinosaur extinction.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, yeah.
Now, if we have to say something about that,
I think we have a little bit to say about that.
Yeah, it did occur. I'm sorry, it did occur.
Yeah, even you don't believe it.
It did occur.
I'm just gonna be short, mom be sweet right here. Iridium enrichment spread out too much. One study by another researcher examined the original clay at the site in Gubbio, Italy, which started all the excitement. You notice how she got all excited. Enriched iridium levels are found above the layer in question, spanning a depth which, according to the whole method of long-age reasoning, covers about 500,000 years. This makes sense if the enrichment came from a long, drawn-out period of volcanism. Oh, yeah. It's time for our third argument, which has to do with other things that disprove their theory. So, toward the end of the Cretaceous, there was a significant global fall of sea level. This regression may have been caused by continental uplift, a reduction of plate movement, and shrinkage of the mid-ocean ridges, or both processes. Formation of ice sheets, a factor in other regressions, could not have been involved because the climate was way too warm. Extensive in the terrestrial environment, with regressions of the sea, a much greater land area was exposed, and the continents stood higher. Both of these factors affected the prevailing weather patterns. Large continental masses with the high elevations relative to sea level tend to develop dry seasonal climates over much of their central areas, sometimes depending on latitudinal position and prevailing winds. Extensive deserts will form. In general, one may predict a drier climate with greater seasonal temperature extremes. Now Mark is going to finish this one off and totally put you guys in the dirt.
So, all right, the idea here is that with the gradual, not all at once change here. Okay, combined with the short-term temperature drops and acid rain, this is again produced by volcanic activity. This is what we're going to credit for the plant growth, and that anything having to do with its levels dropping off is going to have subsided because of this. So what we're going to say about the KT distinction is that we're going to say, people say it's going to be a global catastrophe, but yet we don't even look at what effects it has on land, which isn't much. Most of its destructiveness is basically confined to the waters of the tropical oceans. This is in support of ocean regression, which also leads to land bridges. And land bridges is another source of another theory that could have caused the ultimate demise of the dinosaurs, which is disease. This is the idea that species after species of dinosaurs disappeared, continued the shrinking habitats, or increased competition and disease. So epidemics, as we have seen, in dinosaur distinction, habitat defragmentation and the competition between species are something else that we could credit to that. Then we must keep in mind that these are also a few theories, and the 3 points that we have made are not all that confined of what could have happened to the dinosaurs. So some alternative theories that we will just touch upon briefly is the idea that a nearby supernova being an exploding star, could have been the cause and the source of deadly radiation that showered Earth, and this would be an enormous amounts of electromagnetic radiation or light or X-rays or gamma rays. And so nuclear radiation such as this, which would be similar to nuclear explosives that we have made, would occur in supernovae, making huge amounts of radioactive matter. Basically, that none can withstand, no life on Earth would be able to take this radioactivity, including the dinosaurs. So as light and matter from the explosion expand outward, the idea is that Earth would be in the way and everything on Earth would be in the way, including our vegetation and including the dinosaurs. So basically any life form within about 50 light years of a supernova would not be able to survive this. Another idea is the change in the Earth's orbit, which would cause another, not all at once, but a dramatic long-term climatic cooling that would have caused the extinction. So in this theory, we're talking about how the dinosaurs wouldn't be able to adapt to the cold due to their lack of adaptation, but those that did, that would develop fur coats, would be able to. And then this would be consistent with the climate of the late Cretaceous period and the drop in the sea level, causing more land exposure on all continents and more seasons and temperature extremes on the Earth. And then we'll also just mention atmosphere change. It could have been changes in methane in Earth's atmosphere at this time, again, which would be credited for the causing of the greenhouse effect. And this would be also from a source of deep sea algae deposits or plant eating dinosaurs in digestion by byproducts. All right, so what's
that
say about that?
Yeah, it's
wrong.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Got a lot.
Rory, go ahead.
Rizong.
You got this.
I got it. Okay. Got
Team Bizzle in the house.
Okay, my name is Ashley, and I'm going to rebuke their third and bad argument.
Oh, she says it straight out.
I'm joking. Okay. The theory of plate tectonics is a systematic approach of looking at the extinction of the dinosaurs. But would that cause a mass extinction of the dinosaurs? No, it wouldn't. Plate tectonics is natural to the characteristics of Earth's shifting continents and coincides with Pangaea breaking up. Therefore, if dinosaurs lived when Pangaea was still together and lived for 140 million more years when the continents were breaking apart, then this concludes that dinosaurs were able to live through the shifts of the continental plates and that did not cause a mass extinction. Also they mentioned, did you guys mention disease?
Yeah.
Okay. Dinosaurs developed a better, okay, for diseases. Stop. Okay. Dinosaurs developed a better immune system to the diseases. In studies from the ThinkQuest 2000, most cases of diseases in species is not a fatal and is a positive thing because it wipes out the weak so only the strong will survive to pass their genes on to the next generation. Also, disease is evident on Earth from the beginning of time and is still evident today. Therefore, if the dinosaurs could live for 140 million years, they would have to surpass all the diseases that may cause them to die out and will not produce a mass extinction. Now I will toss it up to my homie Redman over here who will give the conclusion.
Redman.
Hello, this is Redman of Team Ramrod, and I will be making the closing statement. To put this debate to a close, my team has discussed the size of the asteroid and the time of its impact. We have also pointed out the after effects, such as volcanoism and weather changes, that prove the asteroid's presence and collision on Earth. Our last argument elaborated on the presence of the asteroid when referring back to the KT boundary, which is rich in iridium and can only be found in the asteroid. Our opposing group gives different variations of what really caused the extinction of the dinosaur. Our argument is only one cause, which initiated a series of events. If our opposing team is arguing different ideas, then which one of theirs is right?
None
has a more supporting view as our topic.
That's right.
Asteroid.
Oh. All I gotta say to that.
Done.
All I gotta say to that. Asteroid.
Okay.
All right. Ready for the whack conclusion.
The best conclusion. Okay, this is
Team B, for
Team B conclusion. The concept consequent upon the impact of some extraterrestrial object is so dramatic that it's taken upon the imagination of many scientists as well as the general public. The evidence for an impact at approximately the level of the Cretaceous to Terry boundary is impressive. Whether it was the cause for the iridium concentration so widely distributed that the level remains disputable. The wave of extinction is so often attributed to the impact, it is equally disputable. It is now evident that no clear line can be drawn between the smaller theropod dinosaurs and the birds. In that sense, dinosaurs are not extinct. The dating of extinction of larger Ortherithians based upon its evidence from only one small corner of the globe is equally disputable. Whether it happened that extinction appears to have the product of natural causes, a slow decline occasioned by environmental changes and not extraterrestrial induced catastrophe. Whether the impact had any effect at all upon dinosaurs is questionable. If so, it appears to have not been worldwide but confined to a limited region. Therefore, a sudden extinction of dinosaurs is impossible. As our opposing team believes, a crater or KT boundary is responsible for the extinction of dinosaurs. No one major event could be responsible for such a catastrophic event like the extinction of dinosaurs. That is why they allowed the theory of volcano eruption as an addition to their explanation. As we believe, the extinction of dinosaurs is explained by a drawn-out process in which volcano eruptions began creating a climate change and caused a chain reaction of events which would last a few million years. There is other possible evidence which could be explained as a theory of slow extinction instead of simply vanishing with impact, like disease through land bridges, by continental drift, or radiation from a supernova. However, these theories are not as explored as the impact or volcanic eruption theories. Therefore, we must only state what we know, and we can prove that this is the extinction of dinosaurs accrued over time, not by impact, but by climate change, starvation, and lack of ability to adapt to new conditions. Booyah!
Anyways, check this out on MySpace.
Yeah, MySpace.
/ Dino Death. Hit it up. questions and comments, all that. Dino death, for real though.
Ramrod.
King B. Dino death.
Okay, turn it off now.